Hello and welcome to Season 8 of Employment Law Matters. I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett, a member of Outer Temple Chambers and presenter of The Legal Hour on LBC Radio. Between today, the 9th of April 2024 and mid-June 2024, I'll be releasing weekly episodes of this podcast every Tuesday. Today's episode is all about the legal changes happening within employment and HR law this month. And the highlights over the coming weeks include a brilliant interview with Andrew Allen Casey, that's next week, on unfair dismissal pitfalls, an extract from my recent webinar on how to spot a liar during workplace investigations, a discussion by me on the right to disconnect, and my top tips on managing employee expenses. If you don't subscribe to this podcast, although I'm not sure how you're listening if you don't, please do. It's called Employment Law Matters. And go on, give us a review. You know you want to.
Welcome to Employment Law Matters with Barrister Daniel Barnett.
April is always a busy month in the world of human resources. Businesses often dovetail the end of the tax year with annual employment processes, such as salary reviews, bonus awards, and promotion announcements. And this year, the government is making this busy time even more challenging, with several key changes to employment rights coming into effect at the beginning of next month. But don't fear, I'm here to help. In this episode, I set out exactly what's changing and what you need to do to be ready for it. I'll be discussing the new rules on flexible working, carers' leave, paternity leave, the national minimum wage changes, holiday pay changes, and changes to redundancy protection for employees. Let's start with flexible working. With effect from the 6th of April 2024, all employees, regardless of their service, their length of service, will have the right to request flexible working. The Flexible Working Amendment Regulations 2023, which were published last December, make it clear that flexible working will, for applications made on or after the 6th of April 2024, become a day one right for all employees. Now, the government published wider changes to flexible working last autumn. These were set out in the Employment Regulations Flexible Working Act 2023. But the problem with this piece of legislation, between you and me, is that at the time of recording this episode, it's not yet come into force. Its provisions are stated to come into force, quote, on such day as the Secretary of State may, by regulations made by statutory instrument, appoint. But we don't have the necessary regulations yet, so we don't know if and when and what dates they're coming into force. But the wider changes are these. First of all, removing the requirement for employees in their written request for flexible working to set out what effect the proposed flexibility would have on the employer's business and how that effect could be dealt with. Number two, increasing the number of flexible working requests, which can be made in any 12-month period, from one request to two requests. Number three, reducing the primary time period within which flexible working requests have to be dealt with, including any appeal. It's being reduced from 3 months to 2 months. As before, it will be possible by agreement with the employees to extend this time period. Now, if you believe ACAS, it's expected that these additional changes will come into effect at the same time that flexible working becomes a day one right. So for applications on or after the 6th of April 2024. But at the time of publication, the government hasn't yet published the regulations necessary to make this happen. So yeah, it's clear as mud. Now, these changes may take effect from 6th of April, or they may not. I'll update you via my email updater service, www.danielbarnett.com, as soon as there's clarification. Meanwhile, you may need to have two revised flexible working policies ready to go live on the 6th of April, one which merely removes the requirement for the 26-week service, the other of which removes this provision and also incorporates the three other changes listed above. If you want an updated flexible working policy, have a look at www.policies2024.com. Let's turn to carers' leave. The Carers' Leave Regulations 2024 definitely do take effect on the 6th of April 2024. They set out the statutory scheme under which employees can apply for up to 1 week. 1 week. Wow. 1 week of unpaid carer's leave, unpaid, in any 12-month period. Now, the key features include it's a day one employment right. The right applies to employees who have a dependent with a long-term care need, and they want to be absent from work to provide or arrange care for that dependent. Requests can be in consecutive or non-consecutive half days or full days, so it doesn't need to be taken as a one-week block. Employees have to give notice in writing of their intention to take unpaid carer's leave. They've got to confirm their entitlement to take it and give, like holiday, whatever is the longer of at least twice the amount of notice than the period of leave requested, or, unlike holiday, 3 days notice. Now, employers can postpone a request if the operation of the business would be unduly disrupted. And in those circumstances, the employer has to give notice of the postponement before the leave is due to begin and explain why it's necessary. The employer then has to allow that leave to be taken within 1 month of the start date of the leave originally requested. The employer should consult with the employee about rescheduling the leave. Employees are protected from detriment or dismissal because they take or seek to take carer's leave, or because the employer believes they're likely to do so. So that's carer's leave. Let's have a look at paternity leave. These changes are found in the Paternity Leave Amendment Regulations 2024. They make the following changes. First of all, employees will be able to take their 2 week paternity leave entitlement as two separate blocks of 1 week, rather than having to take just 1 week in total or two consecutive weeks in total. Second of all, employees will be able to take paternity leave at any time in the 52 weeks after birth. 52 weeks. It used to be they had to take the leave within 56 days following birth. Third, employees will only need to give 28 days notice of their intention to take paternity leave. That used to be notice had to be given, wait for it, 15 weeks before the expected week of confinement of childbirth. No more. Now it's only got to be 28 days notice. And these regulations apply in all cases where the expected week of childbirth is on or after the 6th of April, 2024. Again, relevant policies will need amending to reflect these changes, and managers should be made aware so that absences on paternity leave can be planned and effectively managed. Occupational Health Assessment Limited provides rapid access to expert medical advice. Appointments are available within 48 hours, and you can speak to the assessing clinician beforehand to get advice on the best questions to ask in your referral. All the team are highly experienced, accredited specialists in occupational medicine. Visit occupationalhealthassessment.com. That's occupationalhealthassessment.com for more information. Fourth, let's come to the national minimum wage. New rates of national living wage and national minimum wage came into force on the 1st of April. There, the national living wage for 21 years old and over, that's £11.44 an hour. The 18 to 20 rate is £8.60 an hour. The 16 to 17 year old rate is £6.40 an hour, as is the apprentice rate. And the accommodation offset is £9.99 a day. Now, there's also a change to the national minimum wage exemption, so that from the 1st of April 2024, employees who carry out domestic work while living with their employer become entitled to the minimum wage. Now, previously, live-in domestic workers were exempt if they weren't members of the family, but were treated as such, in particular, as regards the provision of living accommodation and meals and the sharing of tasks and leisure activities. This exemption is now removed. All live-in cleaners, anyone carrying out domestic work when living with their employer, are now entitled, or is now entitled, to minimum wage. And Finally, let's deal with holiday. In fact, it's not final. I want to cover redundancy right as well. So second from final, let's deal with holiday. Now, this isn't the place for a detailed examination of the laws on holiday pay or the April 2024 pages. I covered them extensively during the Virtual Employment Law Academy program recently. Many of you will have been on that. And if you're a member of the HR Inner Circle, we've got a ton of resources for you there. You can also, if you want to learn more, download my annual Leave Pack 2024 at www.danielbarnett.com/annual leave, which has videos explaining these changes and a fully up-to-date template annual leave policy incorporating this month's changes. I'm just going to talk today about the new category of part-year and irregular hour worker, sometimes called casual worker. The government's created an entirely new system of holiday accrual and holiday pay for these categories of worker, and their holiday rights will no longer come from Regulation 13 and Regulation 13A of the Working Time Regulations 1998. Instead, their rights are set out in Regulation 15B and 15C of the Working Time Regulations 1998. Now, the dramatic changes to holiday accrual and pay for these workers takes effect for holiday years starting on or after the 1st of April 2024. In essence, it allows employers to roll up holiday pay at the rate of 12.07%. Now, there are really complex rules on accrual. Rolled up holiday pay refers to money paid on account of holiday pay as a regular sum throughout the course of a year, as part of a worker's hourly, daily, or weekly wage. As an example, let's assume Olivia is a worker who's paid £600 a week. She's entitled to holiday pay in addition. But Olivia's employer decides that instead of giving her pay when she takes leave, she'll be paid an additional £75 each week that she works. Then when she takes holiday, she won't be paid for it because she's received holiday pay in installments in advance. Now, before you email me, I do know that 12.07% of £600 is £72.42, because I've got a calculator also. So by paying £75 a week, Olivia's employer is being slightly more generous than the law requires. Now, doing this, rolling up holiday pay can administratively be super convenient, especially in industries such as construction, care, hospitality, where there's a frequent turnover of workers. But is it allowed? Yes, now, to an extent. The new law on annual leave includes provisions making rolled up holiday pay for part year and irregular hours workers lawful. It is not lawful for those who work regular hours. Now, irregular hour workers are those where the number of paid hours that they work in each pay period during the term of their contract in that year is under the terms of that contract, wholly or mostly variable. That catches zero-hour workers. Part-year workers are those who, under the terms of their contract, are required to work only part of that year, and there are periods of the year during the term of the contract of at least a week when they're not required to work and for which they're not paid. So starting with holiday years that start on or after the 1st of April 2024, employers can pay rolled-up holiday pay for irregular hours workers and part-year workers, not normal workers, as long as, one, their holiday pay is calculated at 12.07% of their pay and is paid at the same time as their ordinary pay, and two, the amount of the holiday pay is itemized separately as a standalone item on their payslips. Now, during any period of sick leave or statutory leave, that's family leave, a worker who gets rolled up holiday pay continues getting rolled up holiday pay, calculated as an average of the rolled up holiday pay received in the 52 weeks looking back from the date they started sick leave or started maternity leave. But unlike the normal calculation of holiday pay for most workers, where you disregard weeks when nothing was paid, for this calculation, for 12.07%, you include weeks where no work was done, but you exclude weeks where the worker was on sick leave or family leave. Now, that's complicated. And in my annual Leave Pack 2024, which you can get at www.danielbarnett.com /annual leave. I've done a 15-minute video explaining how that works with worked examples, with practical working calculations. There's also, if you want it there, a up-to-date annual leave holiday policy, which includes all of the April 2024 changes. You've also got an 80-minute video of me explaining how holiday pay works in a lot of detail. It's an extract from the Virtual Employment Law Academy. There are also flowcharts for how the new holiday pay rules work. There's also a recording of a Q&A video with Darren Newman, where a lot of people dialed in and asked Darren questions about holiday pay. And we've recorded that, and that's available for you as part of the annual leave pack 2024. danielbarnett.com/annual leave. Now, the purpose of these new accrual rules get around the problematic decision of the Supreme Court in Brazel and Harper Trust, which decided that part-year workers engaged under permanent or continuous contracts have to receive at least 5.6 weeks paid holiday a year, even if they only worked for part of that year. Under the new system, accrual is directly linked to work done. Now, depending on your organisation's holiday year, this may impact you this April, or it may not. As and when it does, you'll need to have done the following. First of all, worked out if you currently engage any part-year or irregular workers. Second, decide whether you wish to pay rolled-up holiday pay to any such individuals. Third, undertake all necessary discussions with payroll to make sure your workplace arrangements are ready to administer this new system of accrual and pay. Fourth, review any holiday policy in place and make all necessary changes to take account of the new arrangements. Remember, if you want a template holiday policy that does all this for you, it's done for you, www.danielbarnett.com/annual leave. Fifth, consider whether you need to issue revised terms and conditions of employment to reflect these changes. Hi, a quick request. This podcast is about to hit 1 million downloads, and I want to get some reviews as it will help us grow even more. So I'm running a competition and asking you to do something for me. If you leave a review, that means with words, by the way, not just a star rating. If you leave a review for this podcast before the season ends on the 14th of June, 2024, you'll be entered in a prize draw, which I'll carry out live on the 21st of June. First prize is a free place on the next cohort of the Virtual Employment Law Academy. That's worth over £1,500. And five runners-up will win copies of the Employment Law Handbook, which is my main book on employment law. Leave a review, using words please, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Terms and conditions at www.danielbarnett.com/podcast reviews. And there's also a link there to leave a review from that site, from that page, if you want. www.danielbarnett.com/podcast reviews. Let's move, last of all, to changes to redundancy protection. The law has for a long time granted extra protection from redundancy to those on maternity, adoption, or shared parental leave. They have the right of first refusal for any suitable alternative roles in a redundancy situation. From April, this protection's been extended to women, not just women during their period of maternity leave, but before and after the maternity leave period. The protection now starts when the woman tells her employer that she's pregnant, rather than when her maternity leave starts. So it starts much earlier, when she tells her employer she's pregnant, not when she starts her maternity leave. And it lasts until 18 months after the first day of the estimated week of childbirth. The 18-month period can be changed, by the way, to start from the child's actual date of birth, if the employee tells the employer in writing of the actual date of birth during her maternity leave period. So during this longer period, from telling the employer about pregnancy until 18 months after childbirth, she has the right to trump all other suitable candidates for redeployment when being considered for suitable alternative employment in a redundancy situation. Similar extensions apply, by the way, for shared parental leave and adoption leave. So what do you need to do now? First of all, if you have a redundancy policy and it already refers to redundancy protection, update it to reflect the extension of protection. You can see sample policies at www.policies2024.com. They're compliant with these new rules. Second, make sure employees who've taken leave don't get forgotten in a redundancy scenario. That is possible given the lengthy period, the lengthy 18-month period of protection. Think about placing flags on employee records against those who've taken leave, setting out their extended period of protection. Third, I think I'm on three, inform managers of the extension of this special status so it can be factored into redundancy proposals at a formative stage. And those are the main changes to employment law coming into force this month. Join me next Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024, when I'll be discussing unfair dismissal pitfalls with Andrew Allen KC of Outer Temple Chambers. Now, please tell a friend about this podcast, give us a review, 5 stars ideally, and thank you so much for listening. I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett. You're listening to Employment Law Matters. Stay safe.
Any information on this podcast is for general guidance only. Always seek legal advice. Please see full terms at www.danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast-terms.